the Browns continue, and I did see pictures surface today. Andrew Berry lurking in the background at the East-West Shrine Bowl, scouting Shedeur Sanders, who was there doing throwing drills today. So the scouting and the evaluation of these rookie quarterbacks is in full swing for the Cleveland Browns. And it all leads us to April, where they'll decide whether or not they're going to take one at number two overall. And as we discuss all these, as we try to dissect these quarterbacks from every angle, now, over the next 2+ months, so on and so forth, we are going to get inundated with so many different opinions on these guys. It's not even funny. On top of, I'm sure you probably have your own opinions of these guys. I have my opinions of these guys. Jake has his opinions of these guys. Dom, he only really cares about Mac quarterbacks, but he has his opinion of these guys. So there's going to be so many different ways to dissect this and so many different ways to break this down. But I will say, Dane Brugler is somebody that I put a lot of trust in when it comes to this time of year. He puts together the beast at The Athletic, and he scouts these guys very thoroughly to get that booklet put together. And so I trust his eye for these guys. I trust his evaluations of these guys. And sitting here today, when I hear him join the morning show and give his insight into Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward, it carries a lot of weight for me. And so when I hear him compare this year's class to last year's class and what he had to say about where those two guys would fall, and I'll play you the clip here momentarily, yeah, it makes me dig my feet in even deeper on the stance that the Browns probably should just trade back. Here's what Dane Brugler had to say this morning.
Yeah, it's a difficult discussion because, you know, if these guys were in last year's draft, they're fighting it out for quarterback 7 and 8. You know, like, it's just last year's quarterback class was so much better than what we have this year. But it's also pretty light at the top in terms of high-end talent. So, you know, if you look at Cam Ward and say, okay, I think he can be an NFL starter, which I do, you know, you can talk yourself into taking him early. But I think it's just about getting it right, you know. And when you look at these quarterbacks, if you are able to convince yourself that, hey, look what he offers. We think that he can be an NFL starter. We feel like he can help us compete for divisions. Then you have to take a long look at that. And if I had a bet on one of these quarterbacks, it would be Cam Ward, just because he's gotten better every year. You know, he's in a wing T offense in high school. It goes to Incarnate Word in Washington State to Miami, and you see improvement, development every single part of his journey. But, you know, he still plays way too loose compared to what I want from the quarterback position. And that's part of his development and getting better and taking better care of the football. But he's elusive in the pocket. He creates explosive plays. There's definitely something there. So if I had a bet on one of these quarterbacks, it would be Cam Ward.
So everybody keeps talking about how they want the Browns to end up like the Commanders. That's the and it's funny, like on, I guess not the eve of the Commanders playing the NFC Championship game on Sunday. That's the team everyone's looking at and saying, be them, be like that. And I've used the Commanders as an example of how quickly things can turn around in this league, as and reason why you don't have to necessarily strip it down to the studs. Like, if you get the quarterback position right, all of a sudden the sky's the limit. Now, I understand the Commanders kind of did strip it down to the studs when you change owners and coaches and all these different things. But the Browns are sort of staying the same. I get it. It's not a perfect apples-to-apples comparison. But my overarching point was, like, you get the quarterback position right, you can end up okay in this league. And you can end up turning things around quicker. And yes, you have the number two pick, and you have a chance to maybe do that. But the problem for me is, everybody wants to find Jaden Daniels. The problem is, I don't think there's a Jaden Daniels in this class. And that's the biggest thing for me. Like, Dane Brugler just told you, if these two guys, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, came out last year, they would have been 7 and 8 on big boards for quarterbacks. And I understand, like, last year maybe was an anomaly in terms of there was a handful of quarterbacks that teams thought were going to be really, really good. And that sort of bared itself out during the season, where Jaden Daniels is in line to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. Caleb Williams struggled. Maybe some of that's coaching, but I think he showed you that he has the potential to be a really, really good player in this league. Hopefully with Ben Johnson going there, he pulls the best out of Caleb Williams. So I'm intrigued to see that as much as anybody. But you talk about, like finding that Jaden Daniels, and then you realize like where these quarterbacks would have fallen in the class that Jaden Daniels came from. What if there's just not a Jaden Daniels in this class? And that's been the thing that I've continued to bring up with you on these airwaves and others elsewhere. You can't just take one to take one. And so I get like it's easy to just look around the league and say, copycat league, let's just copy and paste and do exactly what the Commanders did. Take a quarterback at two and off we go. But if these quarterbacks, like it's easy to say, find the next Jaden Daniels at number two and you're going to be okay. It's another thing to actually hit on that pick and identify that pick and get that pick correct. If this year's class just doesn't have that guy, then what are you supposed to do? I understand why everybody wants to take a quarterback. I really do. But Dane Brugler is sitting there telling you, a guy who, again, I trust and put a lot of stock in his opinion on these prospects because he breaks them down maybe deeper than anybody. Like, I do my own evaluations. I'm certainly not an NFL scout. Everybody sort of does their own research on these guys and has their own opinions on them. But Dane is, like, studying this stuff, living, breathing it. And he comes, you know, he puts together the book that he puts together to sort of indicate where guys should be, how guys are, like all these different things. And it's important to keep that in mind. Like, what is, he also has an ear sort of in the scouting community, how teams feel about these guys. And if that's what's being said, again, you could set the organization back further if you just take one because, well, hey, we got to be like the Commanders and take, and I'm not saying that's how the organization is going to operate, but it sounds like a lot of fans think that's how they should operate. And that no matter what, you take a quarterback at two. And that might not make sense. It's why I said trading back makes more sense. It's why I'd be honestly okay if they decide not to take a quarterback and take a different player at that pick if they feel like that's what they is best for the franchise and best for the team as they try to kind of build it moving forward. I can get behind either of those options. But if they're going to take a quarterback, they got to be damn sure that is the right one. Last year, you could have felt good about hitting on any of the five guys that were drafted in those first like 12 picks or whatever the hell it was, with J.J. McCarthy being the last one. This year, like Dane Brugler said, they would be fighting for 7th or 8th in last year's class. I get trying to find Jaden Daniels, but if there's no Jaden Daniels in this class, what are you supposed to do? 216-474-0092. How do you handle the fact that there just might not be a quarterback in this class? Do you still that's worth taking at number two? And do you still believe that that is the route the Browns should go? I also think that an interesting part of this conversation, because I listened to Dane talk about that, and it got me thinking, like, you know, juxtaposed to the comments from the Titans this week, where their new GM is sitting there saying, we're not going to pass on a generational talent. Well, if you're fighting for like 7th or 8th in last year's class in terms of like where you would have fallen in, that doesn't really tell me that either of these guys are going to be generational talents. And you heard Dane say he likes Cam Ward more than he obviously likes Shador Sanders. And he did get into Shador Sanders a little bit more in terms of like he just doesn't have like the quarterback traits and size and physique that you want to see from like the elite guys. And so I can buy into why he feels that way, and I understand where there's some untapped potential with Cam Ward, and he's shown growth, as he explained, throughout his career on every stop that he's made, and so that is encouraging. But if you're fighting for like 7th or 8th in last year's class, like that doesn't mean you're a generational talent. And so if the Titans end up deciding neither of these guys are generational, because that's apparently what they're looking for at number one overall, and that's a team that, like the Browns, needs a pick or needs a quarterback badly, what happens if the Titans just don't take a quarterback? I honestly think, and I'll explain this coming up, that is like doomsday scenario for Cleveland. you might think the opposite because, well, hey, if they don't take a quarterback, then you got both quarterbacks at your disposal. Now it's your pick of the litter. That's even better. But I think if the Titans pass, it's a pretty telling sign as to how the NFL in general feels about these guys, and that's why it has me worried. If the Titans pass on a quarterback, I think that's like the doomsday scenario for the Browns. And honestly, I think it gives us the, like, I'm sitting here talking about what Dane Brugler had to say today. And it's, you know, it's funny. Let me open up social media reactions brought to you by Shop and Jewels, Clean from your jewelry store. And Justin Katz tweeted me during the break. He said, I agree with you, but, in a thinking emoji. And he screenshots, Dane Brugler would take Drake May, number 2 overall, over Jaden Daniels. It was a YouTube video from last year where Dane Brugler was apparently talking about the draft. And so my response to Justin was, if Drake May continues doing on the trajectory that he was on this year, where he was kind of making steady progress, he looked like he could be a legitimate franchise quarterback in this league, that might actually not end up looking like the craziest take of all time. Not that I think it's the craziest take of all time. I mean, there's certainly been crazier takes than I would take Drake May over Jaden Daniels, okay? But I get why people are going to use that as fodder and be like, Dane Brugler, what does this clown know? He went to taking Drake May over Jaden Daniels. So I get it. I get it. But Drake May could actually end up being a good quarterback in this league. And that also leads into the point I was making with Brugler, which was he was saying last year's class was so good that this year's class, the top two guys wouldn't have even been in the top 5 of the class last year. And so because of that, I get, like, guys are going to get things wrong. Guys are going to miss on things. Understandable. But it's one thing for Dane Brugler to come on the radio, come here on 92 Through the Fan, and tell everybody what he thinks and say, yeah, listen, I just don't know if these quarterbacks are going to be very good. It's another thing for the NFL scouts and the NFL teams to essentially show that they didn't necessarily feel great about this class. And if the Titans end up passing on picking, whether they trade out of that spot or they were to just pick somebody else at number 1, that would be so telling to me as to how the NFL in general felt about this year's quarterbacks. And so because of that, I think if they trade back, it creates like the worst possible scenario for the Browns. I understand why people might think differently and say, well, hey, if they don't take a quarterback, the Browns got 2 options. That's even better. Sure. But here's a couple things. A, we have exhausted, beaten the dead horse on whether or not we trust Andrew Berry to be the one making these picks in the first place. Can you imagine if then he has to decide between Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders and he gets it wrong? It's actually better if the Titans take somebody or somebody trades up and takes a quarterback and then they're stuck with one, because then they can at least say, well, hey, this guy went number 1. We didn't have any other options and we didn't really like the second guy, so we didn't really want to take him there. Like that can be your built-in excuse if somebody goes 1. If they can always say they like the other guy better. Or if somebody takes 1 overall, maybe your guy is still there. And then you know, like, okay, we only had 1 choice anyway. It's the guy that we liked, so let's take him. Like, I don't want anything to do with the scenario where the Titans just pass or the Titans trade out and no quarterback. I don't think the Titans would trade out unless, I guess, it's like with the Giants who really want to move up and maybe get that quarterback. And so, yeah, like, I don't know that if the Titans are going to trade back, I mean, maybe they will because they like a bunch of other guys better. But if they really like a player that isn't a quarterback, I think they would just take him at 1, honestly. But again, I think that's the worst case scenario because I don't want the Browns to have to choose between the 2. I want the Browns to only have 1 at their disposal because I just, again, I don't know that anybody really trusts Andrew Berry to make that pick. And I also think, like, the other part of this that I was alluding to was the idea that, like, if the Titans were to just take somebody else that isn't a quarterback and, quote-unquote, pass on a generational talent like they said they wouldn't do, I think that tells you that they don't think any of these guys are generational talents. And then that leads me back to where I was at the top of last segment, which was asking the question, like, if there's no Jaden Daniels there, then why or how could you possibly take a quarterback? It just doesn't add up for me. Jaden Daniels, we can consensusly say, is a generational talent, a quarterback. He's been brilliant this year, going to win Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, and has his team in the NFC Championship game. But if that guy's not there, then is there anybody worth the number two overall pick? That, I mean, this is going to be the dilemma and the thing that we go back and forth on time and time again over the course of the next several months. I get it. Like, this is going to be an exhaustive conversation by the time the draft rolls around because it's where we're at. But I can't get past the idea that, like, right now it's just a lot of people talking. It's rumors and reports. It's draft analysts calling in and saying, or not calling in, but coming on as guests and giving their thoughts on these two guys and essentially making it clear that they don't necessarily trust this crop of quarterbacks coming out. And so I understand all that. I can't point and say, go get Jaden Daniels like the Commanders did without knowing that that player is there. And that is not very clear right now that that player is there. I think Shedeur Sanders, as I've said a number of times, is the better fit for Kevin Stefanski's offense. I think he operates in the pocket better. He ran a good amount of play action during his college career, so I feel good about that with him. On the flip side, Cam Ward, I think, has maybe more upside in terms of, like, there's this untapped thing about him. Dane kind of talked about this in the clip we played. There's something untapped about him. But does he fit what the Browns want to do, and can you coach the recklessness out of him? And I do. Here's the other thing, too. I do leave some room in this conversation for a coach being able to coach. I think we forget that sometimes, right? Like, I was blown away. There was a quote this week from Josh Allen. He was asked, because during the Ravens game, there was a moment in that game where he, like, looked back, saw James Cook, and almost pitched him the ball. And it would have been this, like, wild play that, you know, Josh Allen in his early stages of his career probably would have done. He probably would have pitched that ball and done some, like, reckless abandonment type play. And he didn't do it. And so he was asked about it this week, and the reporters basically straight up said, would young Josh Allen have done that? And he said, absolutely young Josh Allen would have done that. And it's a reminder that Josh Allen, who's cut down his turnovers, just exponentially this year, there's been coaching that has helped him become a better player. He went from this turnover machine that had a cannon for an arm, but there was a lot of recklessness. I mean, the image of him throwing into double coverage to a fullback in the playoffs, his first time making the postseason, is still ingrained in my head. Like, it's almost synonymous with Josh Allen at this point, that's something that he did. But it just feels, but to see him correct those things and get better as time's gone on and become an even better quarterback, that's where you have to sort of leave room for the idea that guys can develop and guys can learn and guys can get coached up. And if you think that, like, if maybe some people are worried about the Browns having the coaching staff to do that, I mean, we haven't really seen them develop many wide receivers, but the difference is it's the quarterback position. And, you know, Kevin Stefanski would have a big hand in that. If they bring in a certain quarterback coach, they would have a hand in that because they do need to fill that position potentially. I know that was a question asked of Tommy Rees, and he said they're still sort of working through those things because obviously Ken Dorsey was the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator last year. So that is a role they might be looking to fill. But it's worth mentioning that, like, these guys do have room to grow. And so I take that into the equation when I think about these quarterbacks. But the problem for me is, like, if you're taking a guy at two, they need to be Jaden Daniels. And Dane Brugger's telling you, the two guys at the top of this class wouldn't have even come close to a grade that Jaden Daniels got last year as he was coming out as a player in the draft in 2024. In terms of, like, what they were going to become, whether or not they were a franchise player. Maybe some of you feel differently. I can't tell you how to specifically feel about these quarterbacks. And if you think the Browns just need to draft one, I understand where that's a stance. This team hasn't been able to identify that position for years. But I also, like, as I continue saying, I think the best bet for the Browns is ultimately going to be to trade back. Hearing Dane talk about these guys today just reaffirmed that for me. Because if there's not a great talent, if there's not the generational talent that the Titans were talking about, you can't just fit, you can't just try to make it work. And you can't just, like, blindly take one and hope it's going to stick. Like, you got to feel really good about that guy. And that's what we don't know at this point. Like, we will hear more rumors about the Browns. We'll see more things about the Browns. But as things stand right now, like, it's not looking like a class that's going to blow anybody away. And if that's how the scouts are viewing this one, we have to be okay with them doing something different with that pick, whether it's Abdul Carter, whether it's trading back and getting somebody else. And my hope is that by trading back, you get a pick this year and a first-round pick next year that would allow you to move up next year into a necessary spot or area to be able to then draft the quarterback that you've been longing for. There's so many layers to this. There's so many different parts of this, and I get it. Quarterback is the thing that everybody wants. It's understandable. But you also got to, like, think this thing through if you're Andrew Berry. And honestly, I don't want Andrew Berry to act emotionally and just be like, well, our jobs are so dependent on the quarterback position, we got to just draft one. I can't have that happen. Like, they got to think about building this team the best way they can. And here's the other thing. Like, if they draft a quarterback and it doesn't work out year one, you could set yourself back further if you bring in a new coach who's like, I'm going to make it work with this guy that we just drafted. And then they spend a couple years still trying to let that guy develop, and it's still not happening. So I'm still very much team trade back. Dane Brugler's comments on that reaffirmed it for me. And as much as everybody wants there to be a Jaden Daniels situation and the Browns turn this thing around immediately because they land that quarterback, I just don't think it's there. And I think that's going to be what comes to fruition. And like I said, if the Titans were to pass, that's even a bigger indication of how these teams feel about these quarterbacks in particular. And I think it would be the worst case scenario for the Browns to have both of them at their disposal at that pick, at that spot, because then they got to decide between the two. And if they guess wrong, it's just going to blow up in their face, of course. And I don't want them to even have the pressures of that. Like, I'd rather just know they have a built-in excuse. I'd rather, again, quarterback position is important. I understand. But if the league is telling you these guys aren't going to end up being that great, you got to kind of take that for what it is. The more and more I hear about this class, though, it's like, I don't know that the Browns are even going to come away like loving either of these guys enough to feel like they should be number two overall. And that's why I hate the idea that they're both there, because then it's like people are just going to be more angry if they don't take one or if they take the wrong one. Like, there's having both there is also means more opportunity to get it wrong.
You can't just live in your fear. Andrew Berry's eventually got to do something right. Like,
but with this class, I am living in my fears. Because, again, hearing Dane say what he said, everyone keeps being like, you got to be the Commanders, you got to be the Commanders, you got to be the Commanders. But like I said, what if Jaden Daniels isn't there in this class? Like, then you're just taking a quarterback hoping that he becomes something that he's probably not going to become. Like, I you can't pick a quarterback that way, in my opinion.
Now, I don't know that there's a quarterback that is a Jaden Daniels. One, Jaden Daniels was absolutely insane this year.
Yeah.
The way that he played, the composure that he's shown so far in the playoffs, absolutely absurd. But I think with the quarterbacks that you have available to you, like, you can come away with one of these guys that you feel like is a franchise guy. And if not, then you need to stick to your guns, right? And if they go through and we're living and afraid that they make the wrong pick, well then, at the end of the year, Andrew Berry probably won't be employed. Kevin Stefanski probably won't be employed, and they probably weren't the right guys to be there in the first place. Like, you learn something this year by taking a quarterback at two.
Yeah, but that also sets the organization back, because then that quarterback is your big selling piece to the next coach of like, hey, come on in and use this quarterback. And then you waste two more years trying to see if that quarterback can be anything, and more quarterbacks come and go while you're waiting, wasting time.
Well, setting us back from 3-14 is a... it's pretty impressive. Setting you back three years from 3-14.
Setting you back for 3-14 as much as it's just about like staying, still staying bad is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which is the point you're trying to avoid.
Yeah, like, you got a lot at your hands, but you got to trust them eventually to make the right pick. And if they're not going to make it, then You're looking at an entire regime change, which you're not staying competitive through that anyway.
I guess my overall point is that the Titans pass, and you got both guys there. I think it speaks more so to like how the NFL at large feels about these guys. And then that basically means like you're picking between two quarterbacks that nobody really thinks are worth a damn. And that's not fair. I shouldn't say not worth a damn, because there are people who think, and even Dan Brugler said this, he thinks both guys could be starters in the NFL. But two quarterbacks that nobody's really that like high on, and it just feels like you're settling in that scenario. That's why I think it's the worst case scenario if the Titans pass.
If you're the Browns, you got to identify something. Like, there is a quarterback in this draft class who will come out and be an NFL starter. Like, the odds that this is 2022 are much lower, because people are higher on these quarterbacks than they were in 2022. Like, we know by what they went through in 2022, which was the Steelers take a massive reach at Kenny Pickett in the first round, and then everyone else goes in the third round. Listen, don't throw your arms up, Dom, just because you're mad that Kenny Pickett was a bust.
Anytime Kenny Pickett comes up, Dominic just gets mad.
He should have won the Heisman.
Yeah, and he was a bad NFL quarterback.
Oh, he's a good backup.
He actually played pretty well for the Eagles this year.
He always plays well.
He played pretty well that one game where he had to come in.
Every time.
People were talking about, like, should the Browns – actually, after that happened, people were literally on the Browns should get Kenny – we had people – I think it was during – when was that game on that we – oh, you know what it was? It was when the Browns played the Dolphins at 425. That's what it was. Because I was doing the pregame show with JP, and so that game was going on as we were doing the pregame show, and we were getting callers and tweeters, like, in real time, who were like, Kenny Pickett anybody for the Browns next year? And I was like, no, don't do this to yourself. We do this all the time. Quarterbacks go back up a good quarterback, and then they think they're refurbished. It's like what Mitch Trubisky did, and then he went to the Steelers and was terrible. Like, we do this all the time, and then they still stink. So don't fall for it. You can't fall for it.
Oh, I've fallen for it since 2017 when he upset Miami.
That's why you had to take a nap today, because you were up too late watching Kenny Pickett highlights last night.
Always. Oh, he was such a stud.
Dominic's that meme of, like, he's laying in bed with his girlfriend, and she's, like, looking over his shoulder, and she's like, he's probably thinking about other girls. And Dominic's just, like, over here, like,
it's Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett got robbed of the Heisman.
I think about it every night. Or like the Wolverine meme where he's like caressing like a
the
photo.
The picture is a picture of Kenny Pickett. Yeah, or it's just your phone watching Kenny Pickett highlights. The fake slide. How I missed you.
Oh, the ACC title game. I miss you so.
My goodness. This guy. Nobody would be on the Kenny Pickett to Cleveland train more than Dominic Clary. Honestly, that might be a lame for you. You should sort of tick. Do you have a TikTok?
Oh, I have a TikTok.
That should be your entire channel. Should just be getting Kenny Pickett to Cleveland. That's what it should be.
But I can just make a video for all 32 teams of why they should get Kenny Pickett.
No, make it about the Browns because you're in Cleveland. I think you could do all 32 teams too. That'd be fine.
I'd make you someone become, mad in you Tennessee.
You can become Kenny Pickett's biggest supporter. I think it'd be hilarious.
Just make those videos of like the day one of lobbying the Browns to take Kenny Pickett or to sign Kenny Pickett, and just make a video every single day.
Until he either is signed by the Browns or I die.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I hope that train.
I hope that it's not the latter. I mean, he might retire and be gone before you die.
I'm going to be 84 years old.
I would hope that that's the case. By the way, Jake, real quick, I forget. Are you Team Shador or are you Team Cam Ward?
I am Team Shador Sanders.
Okay, so we are in agreement on that he'd be a better fit for Cleveland. I just I don't think either are going to be that. Are going to be worth the number 2 overall pick. Because, again, I think everyone's setting the standard at number 2 means you got to get somebody like Jayden Daniels. And like I said, it doesn't appear that player's there this year. That's a problem. Now, I will say this. Being one of the leading voices on the trade back train, I think Daryl maybe stakes claim as being the real like conductor of this whole train. He is the guy sort of driving the thing, and he's trying to pick up people on the way, and I've obviously jumped on board because I feel the same way. I think there are actually two teams that you could absolutely fleece into trading up to number 2 to get that quarterback that they might want. If you don't want them, and the first one is the team drafting directly behind you in the New York Giants. Because I think that the Giants, they know they kind of screwed things up by winning that game that they won in the second to last week of the season. They know that they could have had the rights to either of these guys, and now they're third. And like we talk about not picking, like just making a pick out of desperation. And obviously Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski and this regime sort of having to avoid doing that this year. And that's part of the reason why they can't just pick a quarterback to pick a quarterback. I think this regime knows. Like, think about how the last year has gone for Joe Shane. Not even the last year. Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. People were they had airplane banners that said, please fire Brian Daboll. Joe Shane became a laughingstock for the executives in the NFL because of the whole Saquon Barkley debacle, and we watched it play out on Hard Knocks, and so everybody saw in real time, this guy didn't want to re-sign Saquon Barkley. Oh, Saquon Barkley just put together one of the best regular seasons that you'll ever see a running back put together, and he's on the brink of taking his team or helping his team get to the Super Bowl. Not a good look for Joe Shane. Like, this has been as bad as things were in Cleveland. I think the Giants season went much worse than, and I actually think like there's more pressure on Joe Shane and Brian Daboll than there is even Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. Part of that is market size too, but just because of like how the last year has gone, the fact that they were on that Hard Knocks and like their decision making and the thought process behind the decision that they made was on full display and is now just getting laughed at. I've seen so many of the I've seen so many GIFs, not even GIFs, memes, I should say, of John Mara standing in Joe Shane's office as Saquon Barkley just does incredible things, like being shared throughout Eagles games. I mean, it's hilarious. Like the Giants are getting clowned every step of the way, and because of that, I think they're actually under the most pressure of any organization this offseason. Maybe the Jets are up there too. It's funny that they're both in New York, but I do think New York has the most pressure on them of any organization this offseason to get this thing right. So I think they need a quarterback, and they might be sort of out of desperation, be willing to trade up and make a move, even from one spot, 3 to 2, to do it. If the Browns like threaten, like, we might take this guy, or we got other offers on the table, they might have to pay a pretty hefty penny to do that. They decide to jump up at the Titans stand pat and take a quarterback. So we'll see. Now, that's my first option in terms of teams that I think you can fleece. The other one is the Las Vegas Raiders. Pay attention to what the Raiders are doing right now and who's calling the shots. Tom Brady seems to be wielding a pretty mighty stick out there in terms of like the power that he has to make decisions within the organization. He hires a new GM, and it's a college buddy of his, John Spytek, who comes in, and which is just like the most, I don't know, that's like something straight out of a James Bond movie, it feels like, with that last name. I mean, my goodness. But regardless, like, he hires a college buddy who doesn't really have GM experience to be the Raiders' new GM. And then they miss out on Ben Johnson, so they go and they hire Pete Carroll as the oldest coach to be in the NFL to come back and coach again. Not to say that I think Pete Carroll's not a good coach, but just felt very out of the blue. Like, it felt like they were kind of scrambling. They were like, well, now we got to get a name. That's what it feels like the Raiders are doing right now. Tom Brady's in charge, and he is just trying to point it at any of the, maybe not with a GM, the GM hire, but he's basically just like picking yes men, picking his friends, and picking people that are going to be like splashy so he can make the big splash with the Raiders next year. And everybody will be talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, the team that Tom Brady owns. Okay. So what else, what better way to drum up more interest in your team, more attention for your team, than by trading up in the draft to get a quarterback? I'm telling you, I think Tom Brady is going into this like so blinded by this desire to build this great team, even against his better judgment at times or in certain instances, that he is going to be doing what, like, I think I used this example somewhere else, but it feels very like Matt Ishbia to me with the Suns, where as soon as Matt Ishbia bought the Suns, it was like, we got to make a big splash. Kevin Durant, here you come. Bradley Beal, come on down. And now they're like, oh, this isn't really working too well. Well, now we got to go get Jimmy Butler, too, and add another big name into the mix here. So, again, it feels like that, where Tom Brady is just trying to get, like, the big names, the glitz and the glamour of Vegas, make his team relevant again, and get everybody talking about his team. And so he feels ripe for being taken advantage of when it comes to making trades and or trading up in the draft and getting a haul of picks back in return. So I'm fascinated to see how this all plays out. But as I plant my flag on team trade back, those are the two teams I'm looking at as potential targets for the Browns to get the biggest haul of picks in return, because I think both those teams are going to act out of desperation, and that gives the Browns the advantage when it comes to these things. The one thing I do trust Andrew Berry with, by the way, is trades. It's the one thing I feel like he's gotten right to this point in his tenure. So I do trust him to make those trades, and I think with those two teams, maybe there's somebody else who swoops in. I think he's going to have a real opportunity to like fleece somebody and get a bunch of picks back. And like I said, that sets you up for next year. If you like next year's quarterback class better, to make a move up the board to get that guy.